And therefore, you must ask this question. Whatever it is that I'm doing right now, does God sanction it? Does God put a stamp of approval on it? If you cannot boldly say God puts a stamp of approval on it, then don't be doing it. Because to do so in your private time is to put into motion another thought that God is only present when somebody else is present. I don't know if you got that. That I'm only going to act properly, righteously, because somebody else is watching. And as long as nobody's watching, I can do whatever it is I want to do. Are we together? So the practice of the presence of God, knowing that God is present, causes me to walk uprightly.
You know, when we think about it, when man lost his place, he did not lose heaven. He lost a place called Eden. And the God who wants to restore all things brings us full circle to our stated position in Him. When God created man, He created man in His image and likeness. Let us make man in our image and likeness. When Jesus came, He came to restore that image and that likeness. Actually, in the Old Testament, the word kafar is the word used for the word atonement. We just celebrated the festival of atonement. But in the New Testament, it is the word katalage, which means not only reconciliation, but an elevation to a place of equal value and worth. So the value that we lost, the worth that we lost, God reinstated. The Bible says all men sinned. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But when God came for us, He restored that glory. But there is a breakdown in what God wills and what we are experiencing. Because the reality is, death came by sin. But we are still dying. But the will of God is not for us to continue to die, but that we shall experience eternal life. For the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall not die. And God yet looks for men and women that will not see death. Actually, He did say that concerning one of His disciples, that he was not to die. It was pronounced all over the place that this one called John was not to die. But we know John died. Was it because God willed for him to die? Or was it because man failed to connect with what God had for him? Well, the reality is that we all, every single one of us, lose out on what God's will is. But He taught us to pray this prayer. He said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, glorified be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Is that what He said? So where is the breakdown? The breakdown is not God. The breakdown has never been God. The breakdown has always been whether we have believed what God said. It has always been that. Because your life and my life can be totally different from what it is that we're experiencing now. I should be sickness and disease free. I should not have any kind of lack present in my life. I should be living here on the earth like I am in heaven. In one sense, I'm actually seated with him in heavenly places. And that will of God needs to be manifested here. Every sick man that the Lord healed, every person that the Lord delivered, was first and foremost delivered in the heavens, and Jesus manifested it here in the earth. For he said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. All he did here, and actually he did say by himself in his own words, he said that he did not do one miracle. That whatever it is that has happened, it was the Father who did it. But we see Jesus doing it here. But I said, no. He did it. I just manifested what he did. Are you with me so far? So every one of us as believers must take on a challenge. You say, what is that challenge? Manifesting what God's will is in the heavens right here in the earth. It's our challenge. If I find it in the Word of God and it's not happening in my life, it is my prerogative to connect with what God has already done and say, let it now be here in the earth as it is in what?
Heaven.
So we lost Eden. And God wants to restore Eden to us. Did you know? We talk about going to heaven. Did you know that you're already in heaven? And did you know that at some point he is going to bring you back to a new earth, because the place God really wants you to possess is the earth. You're not going to be playing harps in heaven all of your life, all of eternity. No, you're going to be doing what God said for you to do in the first place, right back here. Now, maybe not in this planet as it is, because it's going to be consumed with a fervent heat. But he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. And in the new earth, there is no water. There are no seas. There's no sea. Let me take away the first word I said, no water. There is no sea. Reason there's not going to be seas is because there's so many of us that we don't need seas. We need all the land. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there is going to be a river. So today, in talking about the return to Eden, I want to talk a little bit about the things that were in Eden. Last Friday, I spent some time in intercessory prayer with the saints that were here, talking about this Eden. I thought that was going to be the end of it. But the Lord says, no. That was just an introduction so you can get into it. Amen? So let's get into it. But for me to start talking about that, I want to go to a passage of scripture that I did not even think of talking about. But when I came here and I opened my Bible, the Lord says, here, start from here. So I'm going to start from here. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. This is God opening to where he wants to start. Jeremiah 17, beginning to read from verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. He shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. This is a man who trusts in man. You will be in a wilderness state, a salted land. That's a land that cannot produce any fruit. Blessed, though, is a man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Glory be to God. This is the life description of a man who trusts in God. Always fruitful, no drought. But then it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The one who trusts in God is like a tree planted by the waters. Now, come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Beginning to read from verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The word of God starts out and says to us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He put the man in the garden, the man whom he had formed. Now, there's a hint here that if he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man, there's a hint that the man was not created there. He put him there. Amen? Now, that's going to be very obvious in just a moment, because the Bible says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, understand that work was not a result of sin. Man is created to work. And in the kingdom to come, man is still going to work. Because God works. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Now, let me go a little bit further. Verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river, somebody say a river. Is a river two or one? One. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And a river went out of Eden to what? Water the garden. So there's a river out there meant to water the garden. And from thence it was parted. Somebody say it was parted. And became into four heads. So one river, and then it parts into four. We have four cardinal points, don't we? North, east, west, and south. I like putting it that way, north, east, west, and south, because north, east, west, and south spell news. Hallelujah. Someone say good news.
Good news.
Someone say good news.
Good news.
One more time, good news. Amen? Okay, so we have one river. Now, what river is this one river? It is the river of God. This is the river of God, and now it splits into four in Eden, and Eden means pleasure. God took man and brought him to pleasure. Eden means what? Pleasure. So God's original intent for man is for man to experience pleasure in every area of his life. Someone shout hallelujah. Someone say pleasure. Pleasure is not a bad word. Bad pleasure is bad. God's pleasure is good. Amen? When we seek pleasure outside of God's will, that's bad. When we seek pleasure in God's will, that's good. Praise the Lord. So Eden means what?
Pleasure.
Okay. Now, out of this pleasure, in this pleasure, there's a river, and the river splits into four heads. The Bible says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, divided, and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pishon. Somebody say Pishon. Now, what does Pishon mean? Pishon means increase. Somebody say increase. So the first one is called increase. The first thing God determines and has ordained for you to experience in your life is increase. Somebody say increase. When God spoke to man, he said, go into the world, multiply. Multiply. Is that what he said? He said, multiply. He says, be fruitful. He said, subdue the earth. Is that what he said? Praise the Lord. Now, if God says, be fruitful and multiply, what does that tell you? Fruitful and multiplication. Is that not increase? That's the first statement God spoke into the life of the man. Increase. Increase. Increase is God's will for you and for me. And so the first split, the very first one, was increase. Pishon. Now, Pishon, it says, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah. Havilah means secular. So this first river surrounds the land called Havilah. Now it says, where there is what? Gold. So the first thing that God is protecting is the gold that he has placed. And he's building a hedge with this river that comes from the river of God, and gold is being surrounded. But watch this, verse 12, watch this. It goes further and says, and the gold of that land is what?
Good.
The gold of that land is what?
Good.
So this is good gold. Amen? This is good gold, God's gold. And it is surrounded by increase. Is somebody listening yet?
Amen.
We're talking about the return to Eden. God wants you to step back into the place of divine favor and increase. The first anointing. The first anointing is this. He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to whom? To the poor. God wants to crush the power of poverty in your life and in my life. And part of that crushing is to bring us to a place of not just sufficiency, but to a place of supernatural abundance. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you want to stay poor, keep it to yourself. God's determined will is to destroy the stronghold of lack in my life. That was His first miracle. You say, no, His first miracle was not that. No, His first miracle was turning water into wine. And that was my argument exactly many years ago. The Lord asked me the question, what was my first miracle? I said, you turned water into wine. He said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? I said, you turned water into wine. So I went to bring my Bible and read it to the Lord. I said, you see, it says here, yeah, this was the first. He said, no. I said, so what was that? He said, it was the breaking of the backbone of lack. Ah. He said, they lacked wine. So I provided wine. I hate lack. God hates lack. Any kind of lack in your life, God hates it. And God wants to provide increase in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, I receive supernatural increase in my life. Hallelujah. Now the word of God goes on and says in verse 13, and the name of the second river is Gihon. Gihon. What does Gihon mean? Gihon means busting forth. Busting forth. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia or Cush or Black. The idea here is this, that God wants you and I to break forth, to bust forth, to manifest, just like He commanded light out of darkness. God wants to command into your life this grace to bust forth out of every limitation, anything that causes you to be less than what God has ordained for you to operate in. Whatever that blackness is, whether it is sickness or barrenness, whether it is poverty, fear, shame, disaster, confusion, whatever it is, God wants you to burst forth out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the second river. Praise the Lord. The second river was Gihon. I told a story many years ago, and I repeated it last Friday, how Mom and I and two spiritual daughters of ours, we were in the land of Israel, and we had gone to the city of David, and while they're going through all of these caves and stuff like that, we lighted on a stream. And this stream was called Gihon. At that time, I was totally unaware of where this stream led to. I knew that this was where K King David sent his son to be anointed king when Adonijah had seized the position of leadership and was pretending to be king and had all of this support, but he neglected to invite some very specific people to this gathering where he was celebrating. And when the news came to David, David said to Nathan and Zadok, take him straight to the Gihon and anoint him as king there. Praise the Lord. And so they did. And when they did, they said, hailing Solomon as king. And the Bible says, all of Israel rang. Adonijah was making himself king over here, but all of Israel did not ring. There is a ringing that is going to sound an alarm of the fact that God has marked you out to favor you, to establish you, to promote you, so that you can burst forth into your divine destiny. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was here at Gihon. I knew that much, but I did not know where Gihon went to. I knew they said that this Gihon, they did not know the source of it, where it came from. So anyway, we were there, and while we're, you know, in this stream of water in the cave, the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell Mama and these two ladies to take the water and wash their face. So we all did. We washed our face. We kept on washing our face, and then we left. Come to find out that this stream that we just stepped in and used to wash our face leads to the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam was where Jesus sent a blind man to, who he rubbed sand. Remember? He rubbed sand on his face, spat on mud, rubbed it on his face, and said, go wash your face. And he went to the pool of Siloam and washed his face and came back seeing. Do you remember this guy? And everybody went crazy. The religious people went crazy about this. And is this your son? Yes. Was he always blind? Yes. Can you explain how he's seeing now? No, we don't know. Ask him. He's a grown man. Ask him. He will tell you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. You know, a blind man only sees black. Because the world is dark to him. Are you with me? So here, at the Gihon, God says that this Gihon that flows from the presence, that comes out of this river of God, and we'll touch the river of God in just a moment to see what happens here at the river of God. It was the place where the man saw. The place where the man saw and now acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ over his circumstance and was able to stand square-footed against every voice that challenged him and whatever it is that is being said. I have not seen a miracle like this, that a man who is not of God, who is a false prophet, is doing miracles. This is awesome to me. He challenged the status quo of the day that tried to accuse Jesus and said, listen, I believe him. He set me free. And my prayer is that every one of us will be able to stand against every voice that contradicts the will of God in our lives. And that we stand boldly and testify that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
You're going to face that challenge in the days to come. Whether you believe the word of God and believe that God wants you blessed and highly favored or not. Now, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go to the next one very soon. Let me back up and talk about Eden for a moment. In Eden, and please listen up, we're talking about the return to Eden. The Bible tells us that man was in Eden, and Eden was a garden. In other words, it was an organized place. And in the midst of it were two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to eat out of, and the tree of life. God does not say that when man was cast out, that the tree of good and evil was removed from the garden of Eden. Did it say that? No. So the tree of good and evil is still there. So also is the tree of life. God did not say, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of life. You can eat anything you want. There's one that you're not supposed to eat out of, the tree of good and evil. Why? Because God does not want you to walk in a dimension where you experience good and evil. Oh, that goes very contrary to our natural mindset. Because all we think about is, well, you're in this world, you've got to experience good and evil. No, God says, I don't want you to eat that tree. The tree that causes you to know good and evil. I don't want you to eat of that tree. I want you to eat of the tree of the of life. Amen? Now, are you listening? In the return to Eden, you must come back with this mindset. Nothing evil will happen in my life. Okay, you say, Pastor, that's wishful thinking. No, that's God thinking. Because it is not that the enemy will not try to bring evil into your life. It is that you do not count anything that happens in your life as evil. You say, what do you mean? Number one, in all things you are giving thanks unto the Lord. Number two, God causes all things to work together for what? Good. Amen? So no experience in my life am I defining as an evil experience. I am defining all things as God's will in my life, and that God who has graced me to go through that has caused me to experience His good so I can continue to increase good wherever I go. Do you understand what I'm saying? That does not mean that evil does not come. It means that you do not count evil as evil. You count all things as good in the sight of God. Is somebody listening yet?
Yes.
So there was a man. I don't remember his name now. His son died. Was kidnapped. Killed. And he turns that whole situation around. And we have a ministry, I'll call it that, of child find. And because of that, so many people that have gone through different experiences similar to that have had children restored. There is an organization called MAD. Remember that? That's a result of somebody who lost somebody because somebody was busy drinking and driving. Until that person experienced that, the good that should come out did not come out. So from the bad experience, something good came out. Are you with me so far? So when you begin to see life from that perspective, I am not eating out of the tree of good and evil. I'm eating out of life, the tree of life. Then in everything, out of your mouth, the power of life and death are where? In the tongue. So now you are not speaking death. You are speaking life. Somebody listening yet? In Eden, there were those three trees. But running through them is this river of God that splits into four heads. Let's go to the third one. The third one, the Bible calls Hiddekel. Verse 14, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel. What does Hiddekel mean? Hiddekel simply means rapid. So we have increase, we have bursting forth, and we have rapid. What is the idea? The idea is that God wants you to increase, burst forth, and to do so rapidly. Because in God there is no slowness. Except for the fact that he's slow to anger. But God is very fast when he wants to bless. For the word of God says he blesses us daily with benefits. Daily benefits. Hallelujah. The challenge that you and I face is this. How do I line up what I am experiencing as an earthling with what the Word of God is saying? This is how you put it together. When you understand that first and foremost, you are not an earthling. You say, what do you mean? I'm born here. Yes, in your natural body, yes, you were born here. But beyond here, you were born from above. Someone say, born from above.
Born from above.
Every good, watch this, and every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of what? Lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. So that good and perfect gift is you. That good and perfect gift is what? You. It's me. You say, wait. Nobody's good. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, nobody is good but God. Oh, wait a minute. If nobody's good but God, and God in his word is saying that I, born of his spirit, that I am good and I am perfect, then God is saying to me that he has, when he gave birth to me, he gave birth to God himself. Oh, you're not hearing yet. Jesus became man. He emptied himself of his godness. But when he birthed me, he birthed God in me. Therefore, I am a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you with me so far? Wait a minute. God is good. Man is not good. But I am good. Then I must not be a mere man. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be an ambassador. How many people have heard that you were born in Jamaica and you are an ambassador of Jamaica in Jamaica, or in Haiti, or in Nigeria. It does not happen. You cannot be born in the country and be an ambassador in that same country. You have to be born somewhere else. So if God says, I am an ambassador, it's because I was not born here. I was born from above. And that which is from above is above all. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I must begin to see myself differently. And I must begin to see that if God kicked us out of Eden because of sin, then when we were restored back to wholeness, we returned back to Eden. Amen. I returned back to increase. I returned back to busting forth. I returned back to moving rapidly. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are we still on the same page? My thinking, the word of God says we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds so that we can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, perfect will. I call that gap, the gap theory. Good, acceptable, perfect. But you prove it. It doesn't just happen. You prove it. Just like nobody just got healed. Jesus affirmed it. He spoke it. He declared it. Do you know that he did not even have to pray for anybody to get healed? He did not. So prayer for Jesus was not about solving problems. Prayer was for him to know what the Father's will was, what God wanted to do. So he says to us, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And the first thing we think is hamburgers. Eba. That's what we think. Manish water. No. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to what? Finish it. That's his bread. My daily bread is God's assignment for me today. What has God assigned me to accomplish today? What is his will in heaven? What does he want done here? He left me here so I can continue to do what he wants done. He gave me this earth suit, this flesh, because this is the only way he permits me to stay here. I have to have this. And so he denied every spirit, anything that does not have a physical body, from operating here. No spirits have authority here. That means the devil doesn't have any authority here to function unless he functions through somebody. He could not function here. He had to go into a serpent. Are you with me so far? He had to go through a serpent. You know, when we think about it, why do you keep on saying it? Spoke through. That means the devil doesn't have any authority here to function unless he functions through somebody. He could not function here. He had to go into a serpent. Are you with me so far? He had to go through a serpent. And even God, believe it or not, even God, when he had a prophet that was going AWOL, spoke through a donkey. Because he has to have a body. And God wants to use your body, your mouth, to prophesy. God will do nothing. Amos 3:7, I believe it's Amos 3:7. God will do nothing in the earth except he first reveals his secrets to his prophets, to his servants, the prophets, who then prophesy the word of God. Surely, 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 for a fact, the Lord will do nada, nothing. But he revealeth, he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets, so that they do what? Prophesy. Say what he's saying. That's how your miracle is formed, by you coming to agreement with what God has already done in the heavens and beginning to declare it here on the earth. When God shows you dreams, he's showing you something that you need to declare or something that you need to discount and eradicate, because sometimes God will show you what the devil is trying to do. It is not for you to say amen to that and start praying funny prayers. It's for you to say, not on my watch, under the lordship of the living God, I declare now this satanic agenda is brought to an immediate halt and eradicated. It is annihilated, and the glory of God replaces this evil that the enemy planned. Good, only good comes to me. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Only good comes to me. And that good comes out of the river of life, the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now it says, and the name of the third river, oh, my time is gone, is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. The east of Assyria. That word Assyria means successful. It means stepping up. To step up. So God is saying, I want you to rapidly step up in success. Is somebody listening yet? I hope you say, why do you keep on saying, is somebody listening? Oh, because the Lord keeps on saying, let them who have ears hear. You can be hearing with your natural ears are not hearing with the ears of your spirit. It is the ears of your spirit that you hear from that impacts your natural mind and your spirit mind, that causes you to have the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. Hallelujah. And the fourth river is Euphrates. What is Euphrates? Euphrates means fruitfulness. Prath is the Hebrew word. Prath. Fruitfulness. And he does not explain anymore. He says, and the fourth is the river Euphrates, period. In other words, I finish my announcement. Be fruitful. Yes. Praise the Lord. Be what? Fruitful. Glory be to God. I declare over you today, in the authority of the name and in the name of Jesus Christ, that the God of heaven take you now and bring you to a place of pleasure, a place of supernatural increase, a place of bursting forth with authority, a place of growing supernaturally in rapidity, successfully stepping up and being fruitful in the name of Jesus. I declare it so. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. But let me put all of this together. My time is running so fast, but let me put it together. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3. The book of Isaiah 51 and verse 3. Hear what the word of God says in Isaiah 51, 3. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like what? Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I don't know if you were listening to the psalm that Mama led us through today about the joy of God. God brings us to the place of joy and gladness. Amen. Not sorrow and weeping. Joy and what? Gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of what? Melody. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 35. Ezekiel 36 and verse 35. God is speaking to us. And he says, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God has dealt with a stronghold of iniquity that got us out of the blessing. Amen. He has already paid the price. Amen? And we should now experience the benefits of that deliverance, of that redemption, of that freedom that God has already released and enacted and sealed our lives by. Glory be to God. If you want to continue with sorrow, shame, and confusion, help yourself. But if you want to hear the word of God and say no to the devil when evil is trying to step into your life and say, not here. I don't eat that fruit. I am not eating that fruit. This fruit of good and evil. No. Out of this well does not come sweet water and bitter. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. God's word releases life to me. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 1 through 5. Right here, at the end, the Lord gives us an idea of what he wants done in the very last chapter of the book. He says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. What does he call it? The water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, in the midst of the street of it, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. Oh, wait a minute. That's the same tree of life that was found in the garden. And God basically reproduced heaven in Eden. You're not hearing yet. If there's a tree of life there, he put a tree of life here. Is there a river of God right in the midst, right in the center? He put it there in Eden. And this tree, he says, which bore 12 manner of fruits. The one tree bears 12 kinds of fruits out of the one tree. Now, we know here in the earth, you have an orange tree. It only produces oranges. Now, we've got a tree here called the tree of life that is producing oranges, apples, pears, peaches. And wait. And yielded her fruit every month. Is that rapid?
Yes.
Every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the what?
Nations.
The healing of, are we going to go to heaven and start getting healing there? No, no. God wants us to step into Eden and take of the leaves of the life of God and bring healing to the nations. This is the power of evangelism. People who are restored to their position in God, who are going boldly and saying, God is a good God, and I am a manifestation of the goodness of God. And if you want to taste of the goodness of God, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Wow. Let's read on verse 3. Watch this. And there shall be no more what?
Curse.
What did Jeremiah 17 tell us? That's how we started. That's the passage I wasn't even planning on going to. And I flipped my Bible open to go, and the Lord says, don't touch that Bible. Look down there. And I look. He says, that's where you start from. And that's where I'm going to end. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Wait. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. When you ask Jesus to come, where did he come? He came in you. Yeah? And he says, when we walk in love, the Father and the Son shall make their abode. Do you think that God steps out without his throne? No. He is enthroned inside of you. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall do what?
Servant.
Oh. His servants shall do what?
Servant.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we going to heal the nations in heaven or here? Okay. He says, we shall serve him. How do we serve him? By evangelizing. Yeah? Verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their what?
Foreheads.
His name shall be where?
In their foreheads.
In other words, I mark them. They are not marked by the spirit of the Antichrist. I, God, mark them. The people who return to Eden are marked by God. You see, because to return back, the angel has to move out of the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. You go through him, and no angel is there to destroy you. Because there's only one way into Eden and one way out of Eden. Hello.
Yes.
Glory. Are you hearing?
Yes.
If you place an angel, an archangel, a seraphim or a cherubim at the gate so that man cannot come back in, there must be only one gate. But we come back in, marks you with his name. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there. In other words, no darkness. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them what? Light, and they shall what? Reign forever and ever. When? Starting now. Starting when?
Now.
You reign with authority starting now. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Will you give me just a few more minutes to just wrap this and just hammer it down? Psalm 46 and verse 4. Psalm 46 and verse 4. Psalm 46 and verse 4. Talking about this river of God. Today, this evening, starts the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Watch this. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There's a river that causes gladness. Amen? In the midst of the tabernacles of the Most High. Psalm 65 and verse 9. He says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of what? God, which is full of what? Water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen? Now, let me end with where I started. Jeremiah 17. Remember, there shall be no curse there. Why? We'll see in a moment. Jeremiah 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. If your trust is in man, you're cursed. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. If your heart does not depart from the Lord and you're restored back to the Lord, then of course you're not cursed. Amen? Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. That's the person who does not trust in God. He does not see when good is coming. But shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. You don't see when heat comes. But our leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is a result of the tree of life that is by the river of God. Did you receive it? Did you hear it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 My prayer for every one of us here today is that we make that return. How do we make that return? By asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives. One. And two, by understanding the implications of that statement, that is not about just going to heaven, but about experiencing heavenly experiences here in the earth. If you've not asked Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot experience the benefits I'm talking to you about.
You must first ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then secondly, accept the implications of that statement. And it is all good. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our ignorance to the realities of God causes us to suffer things that we need not suffer. Let me say that again. Our ignorance to who God is and what God has accomplished for us causes us to suffer unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. I refuse to continue to suffer unnecessarily. I choose to experience all God has for me. Amen? We must enforce the will of God in our lives, in our families, in our communities, wherever we are. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. For when we behold him, we shall find out that we are as he is. So are we now in this world. Not when we get to heaven. As he is, so are we now. Now. Someone say now.
Now.
Not in the future, now. Rise with me. Say with me, Lord, I receive your word, the entirety of your word. Let it now be unto me according to your word. I receive the prophetic word pronounced over my life in the name of Jesus. I believe you, O God, and I am established. I believe your prophet. And therefore prosper. Let me prosper and let me choose every day of my life not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I choose to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. I eat of the tree of life. This is your word. For your word spoken unto me is spirit, and it is life. I choose life, and therefore live life to the full. I refuse the devil and his cohorts any access to any aspect of my life. My body shall not be used by the devil. My tongue, my eyes, my ears, my thought process, my hands, my feet, my organs, nothing about me will be influenced by the enemy. I declare this day, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. God, you are the God who has healed me of every disease, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Blessed be your holy name. I walk in divine freedom. I walk victoriously. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Lord, I believe you. I believe your word. I am an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen.